Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the AFTI Show with Mackenzie Stewart and Amy Shannon.
We have over 15 years of literary experience between us. Our mission is to educate and assist authors of all writing levels.
Hi, Amy. How are you doing today? Happy New Year.
Good. Happy New Year to you, too. I hope you had a great holiday.
Yeah, I did. I did. So, righty day.
That's good.
Ready to get back started for a new season, a new show. And today we have with us Becky Parker, guest. Is it guest or geist?
Hi, it's Becky Parker, geist.
Thank you so much. Becky, thank you for joining us today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks. It's great to be here.
Oh, awesome. Well, one of the things that we always like to do is to have our guests tell the audience a little bit about themselves and, you know, weave in, you know, how they got started in their journey of writing.
Sure. Yeah, thanks. Well, I'm currently CEO of Pro Audio Voices, doing audiobook production and marketing, and also president of Bay Area Independent Publishers Association. When I think about when or how I got started writing, it actually goes back to when I was first learned how to write. I declared myself an author from a very young age, like about five, I think. And so it's been a part of me for a very long time, just the love of storytelling.
I can relate.
Stories, yeah, can you?
Yeah.
Yeah. The novel that I most recently released just this last year, The Left Turn, Two Lives Worlds Apart, was really just kind of, you know how that sort of, it just, a story just arrives for you. I had that kind of experience where it showed up while I was on a bike ride and insisted that I write it.
Yeah, we both get that.
Yeah. It's like definitely had a story of its own that wanted to emerge, and it sort of popcorned into my life until I got serious about just, okay, now I'll write the rest of it.
Oh, that's wonderful. So let's jump right into, you know, discussing your work, the work that you want to promote today. So let's just kind of jump into it. And I definitely want to hear you expand more about your getting the ideas of writing. So you were on that bike ride, and, you know, I was running, right? So your bike, I was running. I don't know. My mind was clear, you know, and you, and I do, and Amy can definitely share her story about how, you know, things just come, you know, when we're doing the oddest things. And I get it. I get where you're coming from, right? So I'm running, and I was stuck, actually, writing. I didn't know what the ending of my book was. And so I'm a prancer all day long. The whole outline thing doesn't really work for me. And so I was running, and then I was able to, I said, I got it. And I got off the treadmill, and I had to jot down my thoughts because that was the ending of my book. So, is bike riding your mechanism for being creative, or just so happy you were bike riding?
Yeah, you know, I think it is in many ways. I do love biking, and for me, what happened was I was actually on a bike ride with my who was my husband at the time, and he was riding way ahead, and I had that thought, you know, we have all these what-if thoughts, right? And the what-if thought that popped into my head was, what if I just turned left? And I think you know, it was sort of like, would he notice? Would, you know, would,
right, right.
How would my life change? But this whole scene just started to formulate in my mind. And what was really interesting for me was that not only did that first scene, that first moment of a decision to turn left happen, but also how the story ended came pretty much at the same time. And at first, I didn't have that feeling of, oh, I need to write this down immediately. But mm-hmm. it stayed in my head. It was like, it just kept kind of growing. So I thought, okay, I'll write it down. And I did. And then, like, you know, a few days later, I was doing something else completely mm-hmm. irrelevant to the story. And another scene popped into my head. I was like, oh, okay, that seems related. I'll write that one down. And this just kept happening. I was on an airplane, and so I had many of the scenes, most of the book, really, at least with some main scene that was written. And it was so much later in the process where I looked at it and I go, okay, what are the pieces? How do these all fit together? What is the structure? What is, you know? And so I then created an outline of sorts to figure out what it was. And then write the pieces that were missing, right? So
yeah.
It was a funny process for me.
That's great. I love those processes. They just they're like putting together your mind puzzle, you know?
yeah. It's like it was just what really wanted to grow in its own special way, I think.
You know, one of the things that, so we do have, we have listeners who, they are aspiring writers. We have definitely, you know, published authors that listen to the podcast. And I'm really glad. And so I just want to let everybody know out there, I didn't, Becky and I did not have a conversation beforehand where she told me she was going to say this about the bike ride, but I do want people to understand that some people have a hard time getting started and they think that it has to be a formal process, and it really doesn't. It has to be your process.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's really true. Yeah.
Everybody's is different. A lot of times I'll come up with an idea in a dream. So I always keep a notebook by my bed. I mean, even now when I don't write much, I have to write little by little, but I still get those, or I could be watching a show or something. And I'm not allowed to speak during the shows or a movie because I pretty much guess what's going to happen. My kids are like, shut up, Mom. So they're like, how do you do that? I'm like, I'm a writer. I know how people think. But
yeah.
I do have those what if moments. Okay, like, oh, what if that character, you know, what if he didn't do this and he did that? And then that comes like, it's like my own story, you know. It could be, you know, one time I had an idea, I was watching Law and Order, and I thought, what if that fireman fell in love with that police officer? And it kind of like spun out of control into a story, but it was just, you know, it's just one of those things that sometimes you just can't explain it. You know, we can't tell people we can teach people how to write, but we can't. You know, when it's inside their head and putting it on paper, when you have that natural talent, I can't say this is, you know, I just sit down and stare at a blank page and there I go. I do have processes, and Mackenzie has her processes on how they work. Everybody's is different. Some people are outliners and we are not.
Yeah. One of the things I also found that was really surprising, because many people will, you know, ask me what's my book about, you know, and now I can talk about what it's about, you know, like it's about self-discovery. It's about like changing our story to change our lives. But I didn't mm-hmm. realize what the story was about until after I had written it.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, and that was another thing that I, you know, I was actually talking with somebody. It was already in the beta reader process, and I was talking with someone in, like, in the parking lot of all places, and, oh, what's your book about? And so I started trying to describe to him what it was, and it was then that I started to formulate clarity around what the message of this book was. You know, that it wasn't intentional in like, oh, I'm going to write a book about self-discovery. It was like this story came through me, and it's like, okay, now as I'm looking at it and thinking about it, what am I learning about it?
Yeah, and when you if you can kind of tell, I've read thousands of books, but when I'm reading someone's work, I can tell if they were like, okay, this is the purpose of this book and this is what I'm going to write about, and then they write about it. Or if it's like, you know, they go through their own imagination and their creative process and how it gets put into it, because there becomes a way that writers write in their own style, but you can tell if it's more about the words than the story, or the other way around, or about the characters, you know. And I can tell that I can pull people's passions from the books that I read and review.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
By the way, I did read your book, and my review will be posted this week.
Oh, great. Well, thank you.
That's great. So let's roll up our sleeves and let's hear a little bit more about what the book is about. I know we kind of had some snippets there. So tell the listeners out there the title of the book, also where they can purchase a copy of it. And, you know, we'll kind of wrap back up towards the end with information as well. But tell us about the book. Tell the audience.
So the book is The Left Turn, Two Lives, Worlds Apart. And it is it's a parallel universe story where this couple is biking in San Francisco and the woman takes a left turn right out of her life into another parallel plane of her life. And part of the process for her is that she loses access to her immediate past story. And when we get that chance to sort of set down the baggage that we carry around every day to day, you know, what happened yesterday and the day before, and she's in this story forced into figuring out not just who she is, but who she can become. And through, you know, the help of the people that she meets in this this new life she has stepped into, you know, she and in a parallel way, her partner are both kind of rediscovering themselves and moving from a place of a lot of anxiety and a lot of grief into a place of much more peace. And that's that understanding that we have a lot more creative control over our lives than we are typically led to believe.
You know, one of the things that we are doing in 2023, right at the start of the year, we are, as you mentioned, you know, for your story, is rediscovering ourselves. And that's the way that we look at, you know, starting a new year, rediscovering ourselves to be the best that we can be. And I think that really to kick off the new year, that's really a great story for everyone to pick up and read and see the twists and turns and how we all can be the best that we can be.
Yeah, I love that you're doing
true.
That. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we think about that. But what I liked about the story is that, and I found it was really interesting and unique, you know, your train of thought and how that led to the story, where we enter 2023, and you know, okay, you know, we have a fresh new year, but unlike in your story, we can look back, say, oh, 2022, oh, you know, this is what I don't want to happen again, you know, think we can look back at that baggage. And I, you know, with your story, it's like, okay, that part's not there. Say, yeah, we jumped into a parallel life that it's totally different from what we had before, but we don't remember what we've had before. So it's like, you know, it's like having amnesia and then never getting those memories back. So you have to start building new memories.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's,
I really like your book.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And it's available in all the formats, print, large print, ebook, and audiobook. And in fact, I launched first with audio because that is the world that I am most familiar with, most comfortable in. And so that was fun, being able to launch it as audiobook first.
So speaking of that, speaking of someone who's not comfortable with audiobooks, and when I say not comfortable, I haven't done it, right? So tell me the benefits of exploring audiobooks as an author.
Yeah, there are many. And I think one of the biggest and the one that's pointed to the most frequently is the fact that the audiobook industry is growing so fast. For now one straight decade, we've been in double-digit growth every year. And that's exciting. And it's, you know, if you have a book, many people these days have shifted to where they only do audiobooks. And so when you, you know, if your book is not in audio, then you're risking, you're missing out on that whole audience segment that would otherwise, you know, want your content, right? But there are a lot of other advantages as well that, for example, when you have an actor who brings that next level of performance to your book, that is, it's like they're bringing in a whole additional palette and kind of raising it yet another level, you know, in the creative process. And for some people, that may not feel comfortable, you know, in that it's like, well, it's my creation. But really, you know, that opening it up to that potential, it's just some amazing, wonderful you know, storytelling can happen. And I think that we are, you know, we are a storytelling culture, but more than that, I kind of think of us, we humans, as story. You know, if we think about, well, what did I do today? We're telling a story. If we think about, well, who am I? We're kind of creating a story. And so this very much pertains to my book as well. It's like, change that story, our lives change, right?
That's
when we're
true.
Telling stories aloud as an oral storytelling tradition that we've come from, you know, it's we're having this tremendous impact in the way that we not only tell the stories but also receive the stories, and so I think that it kind of goes in deeper is my own feeling.
I have noticed an increase in authors, you know, not just sending me their books in print, but want me to review the audiobook, which there's, you know, those are two different reviews because of, you know, the narration and all the other things. But I find myself, you know, oh, it's an audiobook, and, you know, I could just sit back and listen and rest my eyes. So, I do see a growth of authors, you know, doing both, you know, they put it in print and then but I have seen authors that actually did it the way you said you did it, where you launched the audiobook first and then the print came after. So I found that that was also interesting too, but I've had authors do the same thing, and they're like, oh, we're going to do audiobook first and then the print later on maybe. So, yeah, I do see a growth in that. So you're really in a good business.
I love it. I just love I love the whole storytelling experience, you know. Yeah, we also I love doing bringing my theater background into it as well, into the audiobook production. We do quite a few full cast productions, you know, that are lots of voices and or multiple voices doing different segments of a book at times, but it's just so much fun. Yeah,
I gotta look at your website.
Kids' books are fun too, you know. When we don't have the illustrations, instead, you know, we're enhancing that same experience, but with sound effects and music, and you know, making a soundscape come alive.
That's great, because I honestly think that more adults should read kids' books. I think the world would be a lot better place if they were reminded what it's like to, you know, be a child and be taught the stuff that we want to teach our children. So I think that's great. I have to look more into your company, that definitely.
The other thing that can be so helpful with children's books is many parents don't actually feel confident and comfortable reading aloud to their kids. And so it can be really beneficial to have a way for them to listen to stories, and it helps with their reading fluency and also, you know, just the enjoyment of stories. Yeah, it's important.
Yeah.
You know, Becky, I didn't think about that. Some parents may not feel comfortable reading out loud. That never occurred to me. You've definitely given definitely really great benefits of audiobooks, and I'm going to jump into that and explore that as well. So stay tuned.
Great.
Did you have an excerpt of your book that you wanted to read for us?
Oh, I do. Yeah. I have a segment from chapter 3 that I thought would be fun to read. Okay.
Great.
Here it is. And in the book, just so you know, the perspective, it's told from two points of view. So we have Hannah's chapters and we have James's chapters. For most of the book, they're alternating. So this is a chapter where we're focused on Hannah. She was still trying to figure out what had happened 26 days ago. She'd been on her bike, nothing odd about that. A fear niggled, chewing on her like a termite in the structural beam of her existence, that the absence of short-term memory signaled something serious, like early onset dementia or some trauma so horrific she'd blocked it out, the brain's built-in protective system kicking in. Attempted rape? Mugging? She didn't have any bruises to suggest a physical struggle. She was sure of her name, at least, thank God. Apparently, she had published a cookbook specializing in baked desserts. She thought through how she'd retrieved that piece. Friday, October 11th, 2012. I was riding my bike. Must have gotten lost. I was shaken, like I was running away from some horrific event, desperate. Walking Ruby up 23rd Avenue, heading south, as far as I could tell in the fog. I was parched. Took a gulp from my water bottle. As I tilted my head back, I noticed a crooked sign in an upstairs window, room for rent, almost hidden behind an ornamental plum tree, still leaf-clad, defying the season. It hit me then that I would need a place to sleep. My jacket was lightweight, offering little protection against the cold. There wasn't much in my backpack aside from a small blank notepad and pencil, some protein bar wrappers, and a now-empty bag of homemade trail mix. Not even my cell phone, which seemed particularly weird. I stared at the sign, a feeling of trepidation descending. Rent. I'd have to fill out an application. That would mean questions. I had more of those myself than I could deal with and virtually no answers to go with them. Moving in immediately with nothing but my bike and day pack? Even if I could find a cheap hotel with no ID or credit cards and just $62 in cash, what were the odds they'd even let me stay? How was I going to convince anyone to trust that I'd pay? Even I didn't know how that would happen. I could go to the police. A feeling of guilt rejected that suggestion. What if I'd blocked out an act I'd perpetrated? I needed time to sort it out, figure out what happened to me. I just needed a short-term solution. I looked again at the sign. What might the landlord think? A convict on the run? An abused wife, husband close behind? A homeless bum? Fiction crashed into fiction, piling up at my feet. Imagined reasons for this non-fictional situation littering the path in front of me. And I'll stop there.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
No, you're welcome. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
We would definitely like for you to, so we definitely have all of, you know, our guest appearances on our website, and we, once we close out our show, we'll definitely share that with the audience. But if you don't mind, just tell the audience, again, if you'll just repeat the title of your work, where they can find it, where they can find you online, also your website.
Yes, great. Thank you very much. Yeah, so the title is, again, The Left Turn, Two Lives, Worlds Apart. Becky Parker Geist is my full name. And it's currently available in all the different formats, so wherever you choose to buy books, audiobooks, e-books, it should be there. My website as an author is BeckyParkerGeist.com, and Geist is spelled G-E-I-S-T. And my business website for audiobooks, if you ever have questions about audiobooks, we're at proaudiovoices.com. And one of the things that I just wanted to let folks know is that as an author, I do a monthly kind of gathering, very informal, on Zoom. And where the whole point is to talk about and share with each other experiences that we have that are, you know, that maybe I could say metaphysical or, you know, psi-related, those experiences that most people don't necessarily feel comfortable talking about in general, but it can also be dreams, which we do tend to feel comfortable talking about. You know, that kind of thing from noticing number patterns in our lives and going, what? What's that about? To knowing who's going to call or who's on the phone when the phone rings, that kind of thing. So those are, it's an open invitation to folks who would like to join in the conversation.
Thank you so much. Yes, thank you so much for sharing. And if you don't mind, Amy and I will definitely tap back with you to really talk more about your audio books, because I do think that a lot of authors, they haven't gone there yet, but as you mentioned, there's a big opportunity. And I think showing and demonstrating purpose and also benefit would definitely help people move them along to that particular different, you know, technology.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're also just on the cusp of launching what you might describe as like the Etsy of audiobooks. It's a direct sale platform for authors to sell their audiobooks, so that they can earn much higher royalties and have the kind of control that I think they really deserve as authors and rights holders. So that's called Amplify. Amplify Audiobooks will be in the App Store hopefully really, really soon, like next week.
That would be great. Yes, yeah. Reach back and let us know once it launches, and we can definitely help help promote and educate, as I mentioned, others to definitely jump on that new technology.
Yeah, we will definitely be contacting you again.
Beautiful. Wow, this has been really, really fun talking with you.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we definitely do look forward to speaking to you soon. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks. Amy, you know, one of the things that, and I'm really glad that you did have that conversation about the audiobooks, because I was really thinking about that too, as far as my portfolio and what I'm doing. I am working on another book. And I definitely do think, you know, using that particular platform will definitely really explore and expand in a whole nother in a different way as well. So we're starting the new year off right with new ideas and new possibilities.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I've been thinking about you know, kind of going back and forth in my head thinking, oh, should I, like my release of my book, Fractured Tears, it's an expanded version. And I keep going back and forth like, oh, should this be one I'm selecting to do audiobook? I mean, I have one book that I did years ago and it's on audiobook. And I did it through ACX and the narrator was great. Then I tried to do another book, and that just turned out to be a disaster. So I just kind of like set it aside. But I have, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I've noticed that, you know, there is an increase of authors. Some have just, okay, I'm just giving you my audiobook, and or they're giving me both, you know, the print and the audiobook, so much that I actually added an audio bookshelf on, you know, on my website. So they don't have to, you know, the audiobooks will go to one site, the print version will go to another bookshelf, you know, because sometimes it's just a lot easier to sit back and listen.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That sitting back listening to a book on a nice summer day with your feet kicked up and outside letting the sun hit you, that's definitely perfect. You know, one of the things that I'm finding that, and I don't know if you see this, I'm on Twitter a lot, right?
Yeah, and I know.
look, Amy, I'm on the Twitter, right? So I'm on Twitter, and, you know, one of the things that I really think that needs to happen, and I don't know how to do it, but I'm putting it out here in the universe, I just think self-publishing, you know, whole hybrid, if you're not in their traditional world, whatever umbrella that you fall under, I think it needs to change. And the reason is, I think that we are allowing, I'm getting ready to get on my soapbox, Amy. I think we are allowing, what used to be the norm to continue. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I want to, you know, shine a light on is the whole vanity press, that terminology. I think that if we want to change our industry, we need to take that word out. Like, vanity press should not, because back in the day, that was a negative word, right?
Yeah.
But then you have some people still bringing that, because I think back in the day when it was like vanity press, it was really people that was really trying to scam people, right? That was my understanding, and you can definitely correct me if I'm wrong, because you've been writing a whole lot better than me. So then that terminology is carried over. And then when people like you and I are are self-publishing, we're lumped into that terminology.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's fair. And I think that that's one part of our industry that needs to change. The other part of the industry that needs to change is I don't feel as though, and I could definitely be wrong, I don't feel as though we as a collective we aren't supporting each other. Like I go to the writing, you know, the writing groups. I don't feel as though I understand that everybody writes alone, you know, unless you're writing with somebody. But it's like it's me and it's that's it. It's not a collective, you know, I'm rooting for you type of situation. And then I'm also finding people who are, you know, so somebody mentioned, well, where can I advertise, you know, a book that I've written that I'm going to have millions of people to listen to, millions of people that's going to participate, basically like a podcast or something, that people are going to listen to buy my book. And it's like, okay, that would be great if that was the case. But then I was like,
so everybody listening, tell your friends to pick up the phone so we can get a million listeners, and then we can have that author on our podcast.
Absolutely. So then one of the things that I responded back was, you know, it's like, well, you know, so you definitely have to find your audience, right? So that's going to be the first thing. So there's going to be a lot of work. There. So you got to find your audience. You have to be able to do that. And then, you know, advertise to your audience. And I didn't feel like the conversation that I was having, there was a desire to do that. The other thing that I need that I personally, and I'm just, this is just one person saying this. And I know that people may not agree. I think we need to change this review situation. I think we need to change this whole review situation. Book reviews. I think it needs to be changed because the first time that, you know, you say, hey, you know, come on the show, you know, Amy will, you know, read the book and a review. Well, how much does it cost? You know, you all are trying to. So my other piece about that is I think now, people will pay for the Kirkus, right? They'll pay for that. You know, it's pretty expensive, so they'll pay for that. But I think that if – because what we do know from, you know, Amazon and some of these other sites, people read reviews. There's not a product that I purchased recently that I didn't go and look at the review, right? So I've looked at the review. I think that there should be – a book reviewer, you know, I'm in education, so I'm getting ready to say school, right? On how to effectively, you know, review a book, and then also, I think that we need people to review books, and I say that if we need somebody, if somebody's going to sit there and read books. And I'm not talking about, and so let me just put it out here in the atmosphere. I'm not talking about people are paying to get a 5-star. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we need book reviewers. And if we need them because, you know, I try to scour and look and see who's like reviewing books. There's not a whole lot of people who's reviewing books, right?
No.
I think that our industry needs full-time book reviewers. And they should get paid for it. And again, I'm not saying we're paying for a 5-star review. This is their is their job. They are professionals. They're reading books, giving professional reviews, and I'm talking about doing all the stuff that you do. You post on Amazon, you post wherever they want the book review to be, right?
Pretty much.
I think that our industry really needs to change, because the whole, oh, no, I don't pay for book reviews. Well, but you need them. But then yet the people who don't, and I'm not saying that anybody's paying for book reviews, but people who don't have book reviews, they're like, you know, my book isn't selling. I mean, it's a catch-22, but I think our industry needs to change. And 2023, Amy, is the year.
I totally agree that we need more book reviewers, because I've had other authors ask me, do you know of any other reviewers who might review my work? And I have a couple names, but not a lot. I work closely with this book tour promotion company. I participate in their blog tours a lot. We've kind of just, you know, we've meshed and stuff like that. And I offered them, and, you know, they're going to do my book blog tour in February for my last book that I updated. But I asked them if they wanted to put an advertisement, you know, about their company in mm-hmm. my magazine, since they're doing my tour. And she's like, yes, but we don't want it to be about the company itself. Can we do an advertisement where we're asking for reviewers to participate? So
see,
I'm like, yeah, and exactly. And I have had the conversations. Do you know of other reviewers who might review my book? Well, when I was doing blog tours, I had a list of reviewers, and they never participated, even though they said they would. But I've also, and it's very interesting that I've already, my tour hasn't started yet, but they have already, there are people who, and they're authors, that read my book and started posting reviews. So they've been, you know, sharing them and tweeting them and stuff like that. And but it's so important. I mean, when one of them emailed me and said, oh, I just read your book and I'm going to post my review during the tour. I loved it, just letting you know. And that was like, wow. And I read this woman's books all the time. Mm-hmm. But I know that it's like, once I've read your book, unless you've made dramatic changes, you republished it, you put it in a format, like an audiobook format, because that's different than print, there's not much I can do. I mean, I am offering to authors, you know, for a simple $10, if they have the review on my old blog, I'll copy it over to my new one. So it'll kind of like, you know, be presented to people again, you know, because you can always, you know, present it. I just can't add more than one review to Amazon when I've already done it. I've even had authors ask me, and this is more times than I can count. After I read their book, gave them their review, then I get an email. Do you know who my target audience is for my book? Or do you know, Amazon says it's under this particular category, you know, the BISAC categories that you select, you know. But I don't know if that's correct. So they want me to tell them who they should be targeting as readers for their book. Mm-hmm. And I do think that you're right. People need to know how to write a review. And it's not that difficult, and it depends for what you look for in a book. Go ahead.
So let me ask you this. Okay, so imagine this. Okay. So you put out an advertisement looking for book reviewers.
Mm-hmm.
You will spend about 13.5 hours a week reading. No pay, no benefits. So who's going to sign up for that job except for you because you love to read, right? But,
yeah.
but you know what
I know.
It's not the only benefit it is for the reviewer is I love books. I love to read. I get free books. I can read all the books I want, and I'm helping somebody, right? I feel good. It makes
that's
me feel
what,
good.
That's my mindset. How can I help these authors?
Right.
I mean, when I give them their reviews, I give them other information, tell them if they, you know, and if they have a question, they can ask me. And I'll give them an answer if I have it, or I'll try to connect them with someone. And it's it doesn't pay, but I have little, you know, like a little extra. You can get a video you can get a video review. You can and new this year I started it in January 1st. That each month I'm having Amy's pick of the month, and I'm selecting 5 reviews from the previous month and featuring those books. You know, it's like an email. It'll go out, and right now I have over 2,000 followers so far. I'm hoping that, you know, that will continue to grow, that will receive those emails. And I've also given the authors the option that if they want one of their books that I've reviewed to be part of one of those, then for $5, I'll put their book on it.
You know, one of the things also was when I posted something about, you know, some of the things that we were doing, and they were like, well, what? So here's the question. So after the book review, you know, what else? You know, the book was read, you know, you got the review. So what else? And I said, oh my goodness, let me tell you what you can do with a book review after you've received a book review. I listed at least 5 things. And then the person was like, oh, I didn't really realize that. Oh, well, yeah, those are really great ideas. Like, you can really make that review work for you, but you have to, you know, really, you know, take some time to do it. But again, you know, there are definitely very talented people out there. There are those who are publicists, who are marketing gurus. So there's people out there that can help, you know, with that. But it was just some very small 5 things that I mentioned that a book review can do. But, you know, even because you mentioned, you know, people were looking, even I've seen some people who said they were book reviewers. And when I contacted them, I still to this day, I have not received a message.
Yeah. I did that a few years ago when I was searching for some. But really, I've been, you know, putting my efforts into, you know, this show, what I can do to help authors. You know, I tell them what they could use my review for. And I will say this, that there are, I don't know how many, but there are a lot of book covers that have a portion of my review on it. Or sometimes they just put it in, like, inside the book, you know, or they put it on the back cover or whatever. But I provide them with, it's just a little graphic, and it's, we'll say it's like shows 4 or 5 stars with, you know, Amy's book reviews on it, because I've seen people, they try, they're like, we want to put it on the book cover and just have like the stars there. So I give it to everybody if they want it. They can use it. If not, don't use it. But it's for promotion. When they have releases coming up, I offer, if there's enough time, to do what I call an early release review, where say they want to quote part of it for the cover or whatever, and I will send it to the author or the publisher, whoever requests it, and they can use it. I won't post it until after the book has been released, but they can use a portion or all of it, whatever they want, as long as the way they use it is not, doesn't like turn around, you know, twist my words around. And it's, they use it for promotion. And, you know, I mean, I stream a lot. So you see the advertisements, if you watch movie trailers, and you'll get these, like, quotes, exhilarating, two thumbs up. Well, I don't think they do that anymore. But, you know, you get, when you watch a movie and then you see, like, they'll just, even just a couple words from one of their early, you know, from their critics or their movie reviewers. I think they call them movie critics. See, I'm a reviewer. I'm not a critic. And there's a difference. But because I don't look for both the bad and the good. I just look to see what I like and don't like about the book or the characters or whatever. And that's my process. And I have a process that is like, it's, you know, it's like my trade secret of stuff that I do. But you're so right, because some people just, the authors, they don't know what to do with it. Publicists are having the same problem finding reviewers for their books. I mean, you know, I have contacts with a lot of publicists, and I'm making connections with publishers, and I've, on several publishers' influencer teams now, where they'll just, you know, they'll mail me a book and I review it, and all that is required, some is like, oh, you have to post a review on like their publisher's website, which if I could, I do that. You know, or in like this a Facebook group or something like that, stuff that I could do anyway. So I am actually, that list is actually growing. So I really I'm reaching out, but publishers, readers, I mean, publicists, authors, they're looking for reviewers and reviews that are worth quoting,
right.
You know, so that's, you know, that's why they're so important. You use it for promotion. I know there's like some algorithm, if you have so many reviews from on Amazon, like there's something, it happens at 25 and then 50, and then, you know, there's those people that have like 5,000 reviewers. I never trust one that doesn't have at least one star.
yeah,
that's a joke, but I don't give anything less than 3 stars. If it deserves less than 3 stars, I send it back to the author.
Yeah, I think that it's just, I don't know. I think that all of this needs to be thought about differently.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we're going along to get along, and nothing has really changed. And I think we need to see some movement in this so that things can actually change for the next generation of people who are trying to, you know, promote their work, because everyone's not going to get picked up by the traditional publishing, and nor do they want to, right? And so
right.
because everybody needs, you know, options and choices. But I think the way that things are being done right now is not working. It's broken. And we just really, I think we were talking about new beginnings, you know, rediscovering. And I think that this is an opportunity for us to really think through that.
I totally agree, because I feel like sometimes it's me and a roll of duct tape trying to help authors out, you know, piecing things together and doing little things that I can do for them. I've expanded on certain things, and I had an author who is one of my clients. I've read all of his books. Then he wanted to try to do some promotion for one that he published. And then he's like, I want to find a traditional publisher or an agent. So I wrote query letters. I did research for him. And now he actually has, he has a book contract with a traditional, book publisher. And they have also agreed to publish another one of his books that is out there. So, you know, it pays to, and my fees aren't, I mean, I work with the author what they can afford. And it's just a little help to do that. But unfortunately, with all of the questions, there's not like, okay, here's my self-publisher teacher, and this is all the things that you should do. I could give a class on how to write a book review or become a book, you know, reviewer. I've been doing, oh my goodness, this is my 9th year. I just realized that I'm starting my 9th year of Amy's Bookshelf Review. So, yeah. I know some reviewers, but I got about as many as I can count on my hand.
No, look, I get it, right? I mean, I definitely do get it, but it's like, I don't know. I don't know who's going to be, like, jumping up for a job that that they're not going to get paid for, at least something. I saw someone on Twitter that was charging $20. I mean, listen, I was not one of the ones that was saying, oh my goodness, you shouldn't charge. No, I'm thinking to myself, you go ahead and get it, girl, because, you know, nobody, and I don't know how many people were participating or anything like that, but I do think that is something that really, that definitely really needs to change. And we're thinking about starting anew, you know, I don't know if that's something for us to really look at and really, you know, have a different conversation. But, you know, if people aren't, it's the whole mentality. People think that when you say pay for, they're thinking that we're saying people are paying for a review score.
Yeah, no, this is something different. And like, even if you go through Kirkus, yes, you're getting a review, but you're getting other things too, along with their name. And now, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but I've heard this from other people, is that it's important to get a review from me. So I get a lot of requests, and at the end of every year, I look to see what I've done and what works and what doesn't work, and then I move forward. Last year was a successful year, so I was able to get a domain name for my reviews, and you know, it's, and I enjoy what I do. I just wish more people would. If you read a book, write a review. I mean, my new motto on my website is read, review, repeat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that. Thank you so much for listening. You can find all our information on our website. Also, you can find the great information from our guests earlier on our website in the area called Our Guests. Thank you for listening to The After Show. I'm Mackenzie Stewart.
And I'm Amy Shannon. Anything that you need to know about us is on our website, wetheaftershow.wixsite.com/home.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.